I want to carry you first to heaven. Yes, I want to carry us first to heaven. So be watch the word. Watch the word. Why did I say watch the word? Now let me tell you this. The kingdom is an invincible kingdom. You can't see it with your physical eyes. Jesus taught it and said, no man will say to you, say, see the kingdom here, see the kingdom here. But wherever the word of God is revealed, there the kingdom is made manifest. You can enter. That's why Jesus said to them, say, look very well. The kingdom is within you. He was telling them that now the kingdom is before you because I am the word made manifest. So when we have an invincible kingdom like the kingdom of God, to enter inside it is through the word. That's why they said, since the time of John the Baptist, the prophets prophesied until now, but now the kingdom of God is being preached and every man presseth into it. The truth there is that where there was the preaching, the kingdom was revealed so people can start flocking inside. The kingdom of God is being preached and every man presses into it. That's why for people to be saved, they have to hear the gospel. Why? The kingdom will have to be revealed. Have you asked yourself why the angel will ask them to send for Peter in Acts chapter 10? But then they will not allow Peter to finish his teaching before they will invade. Why not invade the man directly? As a matter of fact, the invasion came before he was baptized. That became a confirmation to the apostle that it's okay to have this people baptized. Because if they have received the Holy Spirit, it's the baptism that is left. You know what happened? They wanted somebody to come and make known the kingdom through the word of God. So when he started to preach, they just said, all right, invade. And there was heaven. So watch the word. You will enter heaven if you watch. Watch the word. Watch it. Like the prophet says, what do you see? See the word of God. Right? So watch the word. Watch it. If you watch it, you will enter heaven. You don't need to disappear. You will enter there. Alright. I want to begin to show you from... We are inside now. We are in heaven now. I don't know if all of you made that shift. So let's break the word of God open. Let's see the scriptures in Revelation chapter 4. And me, I'm there. As I'm speaking to you now, I'll be explaining to you in details. You have to be there alike. But the scripture is there to support you in seeing too. Right? So I want somebody to open, anybody at all, to open to Revelation chapter 4. Let's start from there. My God. Revelation chapter 4. Most preferably if you have the New King James Version. The King James will do, but for simpler vocabulary, the New King James will be excellent. Alright, who is there? If you have it already and your mic is turned off, you can just raise up your hand.
Yes, sir. Revelation chapter 4 from the New King James Version.
Alright, go on.
Verse 1.
Yes.
After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven.
Oh, hold on. If you read like that, they won't enter very well. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Now, this is a vision in the spirit. This reveals to you that there are places in heaven. There are doors in heaven. This same day, 6 years ago, 7th July 2017, I thought in my house, there were a group of people in that discussion. I don't think Peter was there, but Innocent was there. Hope was there. I think Solomon too was there. And then a host of others. I taught them places in the spirit. And that day I was trying to teach them that the spirit realm is like a location you can be walking. Places. 2017, I remember that doctrine clearly. Some of them were in my house from morning till evening because they came the first time and then I asked them to return much later on. And then some other ones were detained because I just wanted they had to be around. Praise the Lord. So he looked and there was a door open in heaven. Now listen, John was already in the spirit from verse 1, but he had seen the Son of Man. Why I say after this is because one series of vision had faded. Then he looked again and there was another door. The way the structure of heaven is, it's not like earth where everything is a plane. You travel from Lagos to Lokoja, you travel on the road. In the deep design of heaven, places are in realms. Say it, let me hear.
places are in realms.
Are in realms. And realms can be sealed from another. That is very now, if you want to go and see the president of America now, you take aircraft, you go straight to his place. Everyone is not like that. You can't find the realm if it's not revealed. The same way you can't know where the spirits of the dead are, it's the same way that the spirits of the dead don't know where the earth is. You people think that when people die, they can enter the earth. No, it's not like that. If you don't have liberty, you can't. That's why Abraham told the rich man that there is a God. No, you can't. We can't be sending people from here like that. The people there can't see the earth. They don't have to, they can't be monitoring the earth unless they are assigned responsibility. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to a place where I'm going to, you can't come. Even if you want. So these places are concealed by realms. If that door was not open, John will roam that environment forever. He won't find that place. So it's not like earth. You take straight bus, one way bus from Calabar to Zamfara. No, you will roam creation around. You won't see it. Oh no, it's hidden in realms. So John had to, was in heaven, he was in the spirit, he was seeing the Son of Man, but they had to open the door of another realm to him. God, they said, see another realm. So that's why I say, when I look, behold, a door was open in heaven. He didn't say the door, it was a door. My God. So standing there in heaven, in the spirit, with glory all around, then he saw a door open. What would have happened? He said, what, you know, when you see a door open in the spirit, what comes to mind is, where does this one lead? What can be found beyond there? Like entering through these doors. Go on and look, go on and let's hear.
After these things I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven. Listen, and the first voice.
The door was standing open already in heaven. They are giving him an open door. Kash Shekorash Kindaraba. There are people here by this grace of God tonight. There will be doors standing open over you after tonight.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. There will be doors in heaven. Right now, today, as I'm speaking, there are doors already swinging open over you. In the name of
Jesus.
There are doors open over you. Over you. There are people here, and to everyone whose heart is connected right now, there is a door now open over you. Over your head. Look into the spirit, you will see it. And you don't have to see the door like John is seeing it, but you will sense it that there is an opening. It's a door. Go on from there.
And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here and I will show you things which must take place after this.
Hello, now listen. Why would they tell him to come up when he was in heaven? It's to show you that that plane was higher than where John was standing. But nevertheless, John was already in the spirit.
Hi. Hi.
So you, that's why I say they are separated by realms, and realms talks about height, levels. So where John was standing in the spirit, he can't see what the voice was going to show him. So they had to teleport him up. They had to bring him up. There is somebody here tonight. They are bringing you up.
Amen.
There is somebody here tonight, right now. They are taking you up from that realm, that plane where you are. You can't see. That's why you can't see anything reasonable in that area. Some persons can see about their life, but they can't see beyond it. They can't see what is affecting their locality, their region. You are not in the place where you can see. You have not arrived yet. You have not. You are not in that realm. Today, that door is swinging open over you, and they are carrying you from that realm where you have been. To a new realm, so that you can see things that pertain to your destiny. Have you seen where somebody teaches from a scripture and you say, I've read that scripture, I didn't see it? You didn't see it because that's the organization of the Word of God. It took him being in a place in the realm of the Spirit to be able to see that level of insight. Because the Word is not the, it's not logos like we were praying. The Word is Spirit and life. So he occupied another place in heaven where he could see into that Word beyond what you could see because you were not at the same level. That's why I say, no matter how anointed the man of God is, it's the same scripture you are using, he's using. It's the same John, Psalm, Genesis. But nevertheless, he can still teach you. You have access to the book. Nobody is stopping you from reading the books of the Bible. But he comes to bring insight to you. You know why? He's talking to you like that voice from heaven. Come up hither, and I will show you. Tonight, many are changing levels on this table tonight.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. All right, go on. Go on.
Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven.
Immediately I was what?
In the spirit.
But which spirit was he from the beginning? When he said I was in the spirit, that is to show you that there are still depths inside the spirit.
Yes, sir.
Immediately, if you read through that book, you keep hearing John saying, and then I was in the spirit. As though after he saw the vision, he returned to the flesh to go back again. No, sometimes an angel would. Now, this. For him to see this door open in heaven and this being talking to him, he has to be in the spirit because he was seeing things in heaven. Yes. Now, that will show you that, and just listen to what I'm about to say. He was there in the spirit already. But when this voice spoke to him to enter through the door, then he had to go inside the spirit again. That open door, he wasn't going to go through it physically. That is why the spirit is always the door into the gateways. I mean, they showed him a door as a significance that there's something going on, there's an access here. But he said, come up here, and then he entered the spirit again. Didn't see that. That talks about dimensions and levels. To see the open door, he was in a measure of the spirit. To go through the open door, he had to enter into another depth of the spirit. The structure and the organization of heaven is that it is in realms. One realm can be sealed from another. You can't escape. That is why people that are the angels that scripture say were bound in darkness, they can't find an escape because the realm is, you don't even know the exit. It's like somebody say he wants to travel into the spirit world. It's a lie. The people that are left into the spirit world were assisted. It was a chariot that came and carried Elijah and they ascended upwards. But the people who have ascended upwards now in our generation are telling us that there's nothing else there except burning gases. So he's telling you that it's not, Jesus went up and vanished from their sight. He wasn't the up. He was there, it's somewhere he went to. So the realms can be sealed from one layer that you can't escape a dimension unless you are assisted out. The people that left earth to heaven were carried. They didn't know the road. If you say now you want to lock your target and you start trekking northwards, you will round the earth. You carry your space fish, you will shoot, you will explore into deep space. You can't find out God by searching him. Now continue.
Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes. And they had crowns of gold on their head. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was...
Alright, let's stop there. Alright, you have read quite a lot, and let's make commentaries. My emphasis here is that I want to show you now is this. When John went through the open door, the first thing he saw was a throne. Now listen, there is a realm you can stand before you will start seeing the throne of God. From where John was standing all the while, he didn't see a throne. You have to read that book, noting the places John was journeying to, because it was an expedition. From the initial plane John was standing, he couldn't see the throne. But then he saw the highest of all realms. Perhaps there may be other realms where only God stays, that no man, no living spirit being or any being can go to. But he saw the highest realm so far that beings congregate. And that's why they told him, come up here. There is a place where you will go to before you will start having interaction with the throne of God. If you don't understand that the operation of the spirit realm is coordinated within this structure, you'll just be doing things around. What you see here now is a structure. And what I've told you is the structure. What I've just shown you through the scripture is that there is a structure in the order of the heavens. When he was called to come up, that was the first time ever in that scripture. Maybe in his life, he will see the throne of God. There are some of you here, when they say the throne of God, you don't know what it actually means in pure experience. You only relate with it by acceptance. Even your spirit itself does not. But that, for the first time in that scripture, John will see that there is a throne. That's why I say, and behold, a throne. Everything sort of seemed new. That is why he was using a, which is an indefinite article, used to describe an indefinite article, in contrast with the, which is something known to both the speaker and the listener. A throne was set in heaven, and one. He didn't immediately identify the occupant of the throne as the Lord of hosts, because he was coming into revelation. That's why the book is the book of revelation. If you read it in the spirit, you also will be growing into revelation. So he said, one, a throne, one sat on the throne. And then my point here is, and around the throne. Somebody say around.
Around.
That was the round table of the spirit. Somebody say round table of the spirit.
Round table of the spirit.
Now let me point something to you. It wasn't worship meeting going on from that time. That's why they had their crown on their head. When worship started, they flung the crown away.
Oh no. Yes.
Mm. When worship started, they didn't sit down.
Oh my God.
When he entered first, it was meeting that was going on. Now let me tell you. Are you ready to hear this?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure you are ready to hear what I'm about to say?
Yes, sir.
What he heard from the throne were thunderings. That thunder he was hearing was God speaking. Why didn't he understand it? The same way the Israelite couldn't get the thunder speaking in Exodus.
Oh no, you didn't get it.
He said from the throne there were thunderings. It was the meeting going on, but he was hearing kadamba, kadela, kadia. He was hearing thunderings. That will not be the first time we hear thunder. In Revelation chapter 10, when the angel spoke, seven thunders still uttered their voice. But that time, he understood what the thunder was saying. He wanted to write it, but they said, don't write that one. But this time, we didn't hear it. When he entered, it was a meeting going on. It was God speaking, and what he was hearing was thunder. The people in the occupant of that meeting were understanding the doctrine. Are you in heaven tonight?
Yes, sir.
My God. Are you in heaven? You know, where was I? I said, let's go to heaven through his word. The surest access. Where the kingdom is, where the word of God is revealed, there the kingdom can be assessed. I've told you that. The law and the prophets prophesied till now, the scripture reveals, but now the gospel of the kingdom is being preached. Every man now presses into it. Until they began to preach it, people couldn't press to enter. As the word is unveiling, just be entered. That's why I say, let me show you God's word. Enter through the Spirit. When John entered that plane in heaven, it wasn't heaven he entered again. He was only ascending in realms in heaven. Because I told you he had to be in heaven to see that door open. But then when he ascended further, he now entered the council of heaven. What was going on first? It was not a worship session. It was a council session. Which is why every man had his throne, his crown on his head. And they all sat on their throne. When the worship session began, the first thing they did was to... Now, that word cast is not dropping it gently. When they say, and Paul shook his hand and he casted the viper, he didn't drop it. He threw it away. When you cast devils out, you cast them out with authority and vigor. When they say they casted their throne, it's like they threw it away from their head and fell down from the throne immediately. Because only God knows what it took them to be able to sit in the glory of God. Because when you are there, you will cry glory. Like we said a couple of months ago when we taught you about the glory and presence. Now, what do you see in heaven? It's a structure of a round gathering. So it says the structure of a round gathering.
Structure of a round gathering.
Now, what they were discussing in that gathering is what the revelation, the whole book of Revelation, is all about. They were discussing the earth. That's why I see they were calling men's name inside the meeting. I hope you heard that they called Judah inside.
Yes, sir.
You didn't hear they were calling people earthly men. They were calling their name in the meeting. They even called Judah. Whatever we begin from, whatever would happen in the earth, began from there. Whatever we also have begin in our own time, started from a round table gathering in heaven. You don't believe that properly yet. Let's show you another one. We are still in heaven. We just want to read books in heaven. We want to do what?
Read books in heaven.
So don't leave heaven as we have entered. It's because I want to pull out the scripture back. I want you to be reading it from there. I want to leave you in heaven till we finish.
Glory to God.
When Micaiah brought before Ahab, when he wanted to go to Ramah. This brother has gotten it. Alright. When they brought all the other false prophets, those ones didn't go to heaven. So they told Ahab, go. There were about 40 or 50 of them. I think 40. They told Ahab, go. The Lord has given into their hands. Go. Just be going. Go and conquer. So when they brought Micaiah, that one was in heaven. So he told him, if you go, you won't come back alive. When eventually he will tell him the truth. And then the king was angry. He said, you see what I'm saying? He said, wait, just don't wait. He said, I saw the Lord of hosts sitting in heaven, and the host of heaven, they were around him. Some were to the left, some were to the right. And then he asked inside that meeting, who will persuade Ahab to go and die according to what I've said through Elijah? And then the Bible says, one spirit spoke like this, they were all contributing. Now, if you're reading it in heaven, don't come down to the earth. And then one other one came out from somewhere. They didn't trace his origin. He said, we'll go and be a lying spirit in the mouth. The prophets who didn't go to heaven were down on earth. They were, their prophetic stream had already been compromised. There was a virus inside they didn't detect. But Micaiah had seen heaven, and so his own report was different. Somebody say, see heaven.
See heaven.
Micaiah had been in heaven. Then they relied on the earthly operation of the gift. Micaiah went beyond the gift to see what was happening at the back end of the gift, which is the authority from heaven. And because of that, his own speech was different. It was in a council. Now, let me now further bring you into light. That council meeting, because God had prophesied through Elijah, the Tishbite, when Ahab took the vineyard of Naboth, he pronounced a word on him that when he died, dogs will even lick his blood. When it was time for that word to be fulfilled, that is when God called that council. It reveals to you properly that when prophetic ordinations of God are set to be fulfilled, councils in heaven are summoned by the God of heavens, and then within those governments, it is decided how and where and this and that. That was what happened where Micaiah saw. That was what was happening in Revelation chapter 4. That's why the angel told him, "Come, let me show you what will happen after now," because these people are discussing it. My God. Because these people are what?
Discussing.
Some people want to come down from back from heaven. You will not come back. You remain there till we are done. In the same way, when they sat in that council, they were discussing the revelations, the things that will be, and the ordinations. And so the voice told to John, "Come, let me show you the things that shall be after now." Because this round table, this cycle inside of heaven, have already gathered. They are discussing it. And this is what their decree will happen. And then when John came, he saw the arrangement. And really, they were discussing. But at that depth, coming from where he was, from where he was coming from, he couldn't get it. So when they spoke, he heard thunder and lightning. The same way revealed in Exodus that when God was speaking, there was thunder and lightning from Mount Sinai. When he spoke from the throne, John heard thunder, lightning, rumblings, thunderings, voices. And then they mentioned the man's name. The only thing that waited, that stayed it for a time, was that they waited for a man that had aligned. That's why you see, when that man appeared, they invoked him into the court. He was subpoenaed into the court, or he was brought into the court, brought into that council. And then when he took delivery of the scroll, then they say, "Well, our word is, it's time for our word to play out." What that reveals to you is this: when you are in a season of prophecy, there have to be there and fulfillment out of from heaven in the earth. God sits in the council and discusses how it will come to pass. And yes, it comes to pass. I will show you this further, like Jeremiah revealed. Somebody open to the book of Jeremiah chapter 23. Let's start from verse 15. If you are there and you want to read, or you also have to raise your hands up and we get to go. 23:15.
Jeremiah 23 verse 15 to 18. "Therefore thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem profaneness has gone out into all the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. 18. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Do you hear what God is saying? God is saying that there are prophets prophesying lies, saying things that are not supposed to be, saying, I said this, meanwhile, I didn't say anything like that. But God now said, the reason why these people can't get my proper word is because they have not stood in my counsel. The word counsel you hear there is a Hebrew word that is sod. The sod means a gathering in a circle. Can you read that thing in maybe ISV or Easy English or Good News or NLT? If anybody has a translation, please just lift up your hands. You'll read it for us. Just that verse 18. If you have any of these translations that is not King James, ISV, Easy English, NLT, Good News. Let's hear it. If you are there, you can just signify with your hands lifted. That's amazing. Nobody has those things.
Read it from NLT, sir.
Alright, what did you say?
NLT. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says to his people. Do not listen to these prophets who prophesy when they prophesy to you, filling you with futile hopes. They are making up everything they say. They do not speak for the Lord. They speak saying to those who despise my word, don't worry, the Lord says you will have peace. And to those who stubbornly follow their own desires, they say, no harm will come your way. Have any of these prophets been in the Lord's presence to hear what he is really saying? Has even one of them cared enough to listen? Yes, sir.
Let me read from ISV for you. Because if I say I told you the Hebrew word, but I want to read from the translation of the Bible that properly highlights it. Just in rendition of the original word. 23 verse 18 in NET says, yet which of them has ever stood in the Lord's inner circle so that they could see and hear what he has to say? Somebody say inner circle.
Inner circle.
He was talking directly to the prophets that there is a gathering and arrangement where my word proceeds from. It is very essential that we see into heaven, because one of the things that defines the revival that is about is to come, that is going to be as though heaven is on the earth. Literally. So, there is this arrangement and structure in heaven, that there are gatherings in the kingdom. You know, people that say that, you know, people have the idea that we'll go to heaven, we'll just be singing and singing from ever and ever. They don't know heaven. Because there are times when they talk, like you saw when they entered heaven. There are times when their people are doing something in one realm. If you read Revelation, you see. So there is worship. Worship there is a culture, not a service. It's what?
A culture.
Not just service they hold. It's a culture. You live worship. You live it. You live it. You live. L-I-V-E. You live worship. So, but there are meetings that go on that define these kinds of things. Those structures go on, and that's where revelation comes from. And that's where there are gatherings and there are fellowship. Let me tell you, within even creation and even in heaven, there are still structures within spirit beings. That's why the prophets who see it are able to identify them by name. There is the order of cherubim. We talked about the mysteries of the cherubim, the words on the platform. There are still the order of other kinds of beings. In Daniel chapter 4, it talks about the decree of the watchers. That the watchers were the ones that signed it. They didn't say God spoke. The watchers sentenced the king to madness. not because they didn't say they are directly heard from God, but because they had jurisdiction in that sphere to execute something. We have already seen that Gabriel exercised and exerted his authority in God's presence by punishing Zechariah for being insensitive to his office. He didn't say it was part of his ordination, but that's because he had jurisdiction in the presence to recompense disobedience, to repay disobedience, to avenge disobedience, to judge disobedience. So there are those kinds of structures, and there is the highest of them, which is why you see there's a combination of 24 thrones that encircles a singular throne, which reveals to you one of the apex government of creation in its entirety as it pertains to man. But now listen to this. But structures in heaven have to be built on the earth. Somebody says structures in heaven has to be built on the earth.
Structures in heaven has to be built on the earth.
Yes, you already see that when, and that is the whole saga of the tabernacle. Exodus revealed it. Hebrew revealed it, that the copies, if you read from Hebrews chapter 8, 9, 10, you see tell you that the tabernacle was a type and a shadow of the things that were to come. That there was an earthly sanctuary that represented the heavenly sanctuary, and that there was an earthly priest and an earthly high priest, that there was a heavenly high priest, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you understand that doctrine? Of course, we all do that. We get that doctrine. So there is that structure and arrangement in the tabernacle was mirrored out of heaven, which is why God had to show it to Moses in a vision and say, build it exactly. So if we can mirror structures, we can mirror assemblies. Say it, let me hear. If we can mirror structures, we can do what?
Mirror assemblies.
Yes. And when we mirror assemblies, we make a connect with their mysteries. When we mirror assemblies, then the word of God comes. When we mirror assemblies, the things that go on come to us. And I'll show you what happened when an assembly was mirrored. Now, God had spoken through his prophet Isaiah, saying that there was going to be salvation to the Gentiles. If you read through it, you see the prophecy to the Gentiles. But when the church was born in the earth, it took them about 10 years for them to realize that the Gentiles could actually be saved. It covers a span of over about 10 years between Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 10. You read it in 30 minutes, but that's actually a record of 10 years. For those 10 years, the church was principally preaching only to the Jews and getting only Jews saved. Which was why God had to first confirm to Peter that he should not call anything unclean before the message came. Because they were fixed on only saving the Jews. It didn't cross their mind that Gentiles would ever be saved. So when they called for him, before he started his preaching, he had to first of all announce his stance. That you know that it is not lawful for a Jew to have anything to do with a Gentile. But God has spoken to me in a vision saying that I should not call anything unclean. Which is why heaven didn't wait for him to complete his sermon before they started baptizing the people. They did it sovereignly because his own culture would not allow him perhaps to lay hands on people to get them healed. So God carried out the baptism service by himself. When he got them saved, when he went to the church, come and see confrontation, they attacked him already, saying that he took the gospel to the Gentiles. It was a war. But God has spoken in prophecy that the Gentiles will be saved. But when it was time for that kind of thing to happen, what happened in Acts chapter 13? The Bible says in Acts chapter 13 that now there were certain prophets and teachers in Antioch, and they mentioned a host of people's name, including Lucius and Saul and Barnabas, because they were all prophets and teachers. And then the Bible said they were fasting and ministering to God. They were gathered. They were in an assembly. And while they were there, then the Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, "Separate to me Saul and Barnabas for the assignment I have called them." That gathering, it was a gathering that mirrored something in heaven, because God spoke from an agenda of heaven into the earth. An ancient prophecy that has lasted for years, hundreds of years. It was there God spoke it, that it's time to be fulfilled. The question is, what if those prophets didn't gather that day? God would not have spoken to them as a body, as a conglomerate, as a gathering together. Because the way it was said, it didn't say God spoke to Lucius or God spoke to Saul. It said God spoke to them. So there was a prophetic awareness in their midst. They were brought to witness. It's as though the way we hold meetings, as somebody say, I saw God pouring oil on somebody. I saw God pouring oil, and somebody somewhere said, I heard the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And then another person said, I felt like oil was being poured on my head. When we bring the three witnesses together, they both agree. One saw oil being poured. One heard the anointing of the Spirit. One said he felt oil on his head. That is the combination of the hearer, the prophet, and the feeler. All those witnesses agree. So obviously it was that kind of arrangement that went on. That's why they say, and God spoke to them. Each prophet, one from the other, brought a witness that agreed with the revelation and said, really, God spoke this. So maybe somebody should have said, God said to pray unto me, Saul and Barnabas. And then someone would have seen a vision of Saul and Barnabas going towards the outside of Jerusalem. And then somebody would have seen maybe oil being poured on Saul and Barnabas. And then maybe when they brought all their prophetic witnesses together, then it agrees and then say, okay, God actually spoke. And then maybe there's a distinct word that confirms it clearly, separate to me, Paul and Barnabas. That was the prophet that had been for almost 1,000 years. Several. 600, 700. Or 500, 600. But in a gathering and in a worship, just gathering, the word came to pass. So when assemblies are mirrored in heaven, mirrored on the earth, then certain things that heaven has planned goes on. And this forms the mystery of the meetings we hold that we call assemblies. Which is why we tell people, they say, when are you holding the next assembly? They'll be like, when are you holding the next assembly? We tell them, we can't hold assembly unless heaven is holding an assembly. We don't do it. It has to start from heaven. They have to be aware. Or there has to be something. Everyone has to acknowledge the assembly. Hence, you gather yourself. It's just Friday prayers. It's not assembly you had. Why all this? Because every of this arrangement we have spoken, we are teaching, and we are sharing to you words and tracing them how they are confirmed. Recognition has to begin from heaven, because that is where it starts from. Now let somebody quote to me Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2 verse 1. Don't open scripture. Let somebody do that for me. Yes, anybody? Come on, nobody knows Acts chapter 2 again. Okay, open it and read it if you have to. But just tell me what Acts chapter 2 verse 1 says. Tell us.
Praise the Lord.
We are listening to you, Apostle.
Said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place.
Hold on. They were gathered in one accord in one place. There was an assembly, a gathering in a room just up there. Continue.
And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind.
It's okay. The sound started from where?
Heaven.
How did the person writing the book know when the people that were in the assembly were on it?
He went into that realm.
They perceived that this sound came from, because the people heard the tongues, but the people who were in the tongues knew that it started from heaven, a sound from heaven. This is what is going on first, that you have to acknowledge heaven. The day of Pentecost began from heaven. There came, that means it journeyed, it approached them from that realm. There came a sound from. Thank God, the word, the preposition from is there. It shows you that it shows you their relative, their relationship between what was sent and where it had impact. There was a sound from heaven. Pentecost began from heaven happened in the earth. Began from heaven happened in the earth. There are mysteries here. And these are some of the things that should be understood. What you have just said is, what you have just heard is we just need things here. As we proceed now in this series of gatherings, we will now be making comments to some of these things that we have said. It will make proper sense to you. Praise the Lord. So tonight, let's proceed now. Having been to heaven, now we are discussing now. How many of you saw the glory of God? My God. Having entered heaven and been to heaven and heard these mysteries and understood these things from God, let's talk, enter proper now into what we captioned comments on revival. So tonight we'll lay the foundation. Comments on revival. Comments on revival. From 2015, that's well about 8 years now. That was when I gave the first prophetic word on revival. First prophetic word on revival. I didn't know it was. That was the first time that I would be able, be coming to that. To prophesy by God. We were in the place of prayer, John chapter 5. We were in the place of prayer. And we saw John, we are reading John chapter 5. And that, this was August 2015. And we are reading John chapter 5, and we saw that there was this man that had been lame for 38 years, the pool of Bethesda. And he was there, and the principle of the pool was that at a certain time an angel will come to stir the pool, and then whoever jumped in first there would be made whole of his infirmity. And the man had been staying on that pool for 38 years, waiting for stirring. And then the Lord met with him and said, "Why are you here?" He said, "There's no man to put me when the pool is being stirred." Jesus said, "Get up, take your mat and leave." So right then, we were just there extrapolating from the scripture, jotting insights and drawing things. Then the spirit of faith arose in us and declared that this is the season. You know, it's one thing to read the word vertically, but it takes a level of grace to now ascend with it and decree that it's a vertical word. Let me make that clear. What I mean by reading is that you are just studying and gaining wisdom, understanding, and insight from it, and you can share it with somebody and it will bless them. But it takes another level of ordination to now stand up and say, "This is what God is saying. God just spoke to me now." It's very hard. The same thing Jesus did in Luke chapter 4. He read Isaiah to them. It's not new. But that day, he now took up a vertical structure. He stood up vertically into heaven and said, "The scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." That's the, and they got angry. Say, "How dare you do that?" So while we were just jotting our own innocent insight, then he said, "This is the word." He said, "We are in a season of stirring. There's coming a revival." So we had even moved past there to where the Bible was talking, but the emphasis was on that a particular season an angel comes to stir the waters. And then we were extrapolating prophecy and seeing that there is a stirring of the waters of revival. Hey, I'm like, what? It was vertical to me. I've never jotted, brought mysteries out like that, like from scriptures like that. I say we are just, you know, horizontal brothers in Christ Jesus. Whatever that means, you know. But then, there is coming revival. There is coming revival. There is a stirring of the waters. There is a stirring of the waters. There is a stirring of the waters. There is coming revival. Okay, now All right. So we had a meeting set for that time, I think about 5:30 or 5 in a meeting, an executive meeting. So I hurriedly left. I can still remember what I wore that day. I already left. That was a Sunday. I think I had that encounter over 2 days or so, Saturday, Sunday. So I already left and we had that meeting and we had the time of prayer. And they said, okay, if anybody has a word to share, let them share. And then they started pounding. Share that word. Say it. Share it. I can't stand up and say, this is what God spoke to me now. Man, why? But I had to. So I stood up and said, I read from John chapter 5 and said, there is coming a revival. It's a stirring of the waters coming. There's coming a revival. And I share with them John chapter 5 that we are in a season where the waters will be stirred. And people have to jump into it to be made whole, to be transformed, to be changed, for things to happen inside of them. It's a stirring of the waters. That same August, the commission where I worshipped, there was a Minister's Flaming Fire Conference. The title of the conference was Rivers of Revival. And I'm like, oh my God. This can't be happening, right? Just so clearly. My God. And I remember on the first introductory night, we were all made to go and attend that first night. Because for some reason, it was sensed that something was happening that we all had to go. So we were imported all the way to go and be in the meeting. And when people were in that meeting, I told them, I said, do you remember what I said to you some time ago, this same month, about revival and waters? So this is somebody, this is a structure that is built around our world. How many of us are still here?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. This was 8 years ago. And 2016, 2017, 20. Now, we have had words. In short, in 2020, we brought about another word, clearly in directions of things. Let's now jump and come to 2020, because that was what we spoke on the platform. In 2020, then God began to speak directly again about revival through His word. It was so clear. This time, if you look at the platform, what we say in the platform, we said that we were brought to a place where we are not only aware of the revival, we comprehended it. It made sense. We could now say, okay, I understand. It made sense such a way that every, you know, this we know in parts, right? And we prophesy in parts. It was so that all the parts that this prophet has said, and you can't understand where this one is one word, this one is another word. When I hear all of them, I'm able to fix them into their joint, because I was giving an overall comprehensive picture. Everything anybody is doing in Christ Jesus today by His grace. Right? If I see it, I understand and know where it fulfills, because I was brought to see the scope. That is the structure, the outer layer. And every other thing that pertains to it, it was more like, how do I make this clear? And I said, this makes sense. And in that revival, I saw. It just made sense. Because when we entered into the year 2020, God began to speak from November. I was in a place of worship in November 8th. That day was on Friday. I was worshiping God, and the word was fired directly into, like, so clearly into my spirit. I heard it clear in my spirit. I saw the word. After that time, the words began to brew up and the pages began to open. And we heard that word. Scrolls. That was the word. Books. Scrolls. It just fired inside. So when 2020 was entering, we saw God's revelation and then the manifestation of His kingdom just clear. Was into the year, 4 months later into the year, that when it was said, every other thing said from before time sat inside the mystery properly. Everything just went to your tent Israel. Like Ezekiel said, joints came to joints, sinews came to sinews. And it made sense. 2020. So we saw it. People have said there's going to be revival. If some of them stop there, they say this will happen, that will happen, this will happen. There's a coordination. I have the manuscript by the grace of God. There's a design. I have the manuscript by the grace of God. I understand it. If God gives us even greater grace, now listen. There's how to begin it. If you understand, you know how to begin the revival. You know, people think that the revival just happens, it's chaos. It follows an organization. You may not see the template, but there's a script that runs the revival from heaven. That's why they say the revival started from heaven. It came from heaven. When it was coming from heaven, it has its own design from there. Maybe when it enters the earth, it begins to operate. Men who don't have the design, we think the revival is just happening anyhow, anywhere, just anywhere, anyhow. But people from heaven can tell that this is what will happen next. This is the next step. Why? They are seeing how the thing is playing out. They are reading it. Jesus is Lord.